How can we seriously question Eurocentric knowledge? How can we imagine a didactic path on the traces of colonialism in relation to today for an intergenerational learning community? How to make an ethnographic museum a laboratory of decolonization? Concerning Words is a podcast by the Goethe Institute of Rome, curated by Viviana Gravano and Giulia Greghi. As part of the Transcultural Attentiveness Project, in collaboration with MUCI, Museo delle Civiltà di Roma, different points of view, perspectives, and voices are compared in order to ask ourselves together about possible ways of decolonizing our present. Episode 9, Luca Peretti.
Italy did not deal well and properly with its colonial past. The country did not try to come to terms with atrocities it committed during the colonial enterprise, on the contrary, largely denied them, affirming the rhetoric of the bravo italiano, the good Italian, or italiani brava gente, Italians as good people. This affirmation should not shock anyone anymore, especially in academic and cultural circles. The issues historians, among others Valerio De Plano, have pointed out, however, is not that colonialism was not something discussed in post-war Italy, but rather how colonialism was discussed. In this short podcast and short intervention, I'm going to try to see how these issues are discussed in cinema and try to think of Italian cinema in post-war Italy as a post-colonial archive. I'm going to start with two examples that can help us frame the issue. The first one is the movie Petrolio nelle Dune, a short film, only about 10 minutes, produced by Eni, the national oil company of Italy. At the time, several companies were making films for different reasons. This film is interesting because it's the only film that the company Eni that had interest in North Africa and in the Middle East filmed in a former colony of Italy, in Libya. Al viaggiatore che arriva dal... The commentary written by journalist Pasquale Curatore recalls both in tone and in content the films of the Istituto Luce, the newsreels company active during the fascist regime. The interesting thing here is that the word colonialism in the film is never pronounced, is erased, is removed. The relationship between Italy and Libya is framed only under a new course, a new way of interacting that has nothing to do with colonialism. Again, from the same period, we can also look at another audiovisual product, the beginning of the 60s, the first TV program on colonialism in the Italian public TV, on Rai, called Anni d'Europa, Apogeo e Tramonto del Colonialismo. This four-hour-long program had a strong anti-colonialist stance, especially for what concerned French and British colonialism, but was, conversely, extremely indulgent on Italian colonialism, repeating the usual stereotypes of italiani brava gente, etc. So we can see here two different strategies in these two audiovisual products, one of removal, one of not talking about it, about Italian colonialism, or one of justifying it, of putting it against French and British colonialism, and noting how Italian colonialism was not that bad. So having introduced broadly my topic, having framed it, I will dig a little bit more into the subject. I do mean archive here, if we think about Italian cinema as a postcolonial archive, which is the title of this brief podcast, I mean archive not, of course, as a specific place, but as a possible corpus of material, of films, of audiovisual products of different kind, and post-colonial in a very broad sense, not just after the post of the colonies, but also the cultural interactions that took place, the relationship that took place between formerly colonized and colonizers, and the kind of heritage that this had on both the colonized and the colonizers. So I raise here four hypotheses, four different kind of groups of material that can encompass, can form this postcolonial archive in Italian cinema. The first one, this most simple in a sense, films that talk about Italian colonialism. But this is not that simple, first of all, because the production of this film is extremely rare. A good example to highlight these difficulties is the story of the adaptation of Tempo di Uccidere, the famous novel by Ennio Flaiano, perhaps the most important book set in Italian colonies, published in 1947, at the first attempt to make a film in 1950. The film was supposed to be directed by Jules Dassin. And then in 1953, we see another attempt. The script of this other unmade film is preserved at the National Archive of Italy. This was supposed to be directed by Marcello Pagliero. And Timira Hassan, in the book by Wu Ming-Tu and Antar Mohamed, talks about a film that was supposed to be made out of Tempo di Uccidere, and it's probably this one, 1953, but this is also not made. The film based on Tempo di Uccidere, Time to Kill, will be only made in 1989, directed by Giuliano Montaldo with Nicolas Cage. So this shows the difficulties of adapting even the most known book on set in Italian colonies into a film. The second group is the second hypothesis, if you wish. The documentary is often independent. They openly talk about Italian colonialism, especially those in the last few years. In fact, in these last years, we saw more interest in general on Italian colonialism, both on books for a wider audience and in academic books, but also in a number of different initiatives outside of academia. We can, in a sense, say that finally Italians are talking more and more about their colonialism. This went together hand in hand with more and more films on Italian colonialism. We can mention three. The first one is by Luca Guadagnino, Inconscio Italiano, very important one. And then two films that talk mostly about the relationship of the descendants of former colonized people with Italians. As Marina by Alan Maglio and Medin Paulos, and If Only a Wounded Warrior by Valerio Ciriaci. The third group of films that could form this potential archive are anti-colonial films. As Luca Caminati has shown us in his work on the anti-colonial archive, in the 1960s and 70s, several anti-colonial films of different kinds were produced in Italy. They can mostly be found in a vast array of non-fiction productions, often screened in cine clubs and in venues of different kind. However, the most famous of the anti-colonial films of the time is a standard feature-length film, The Battle of Algiers by Gillo Pontecorvo. Here I want to look in this group of anti-colonial films, or films that were made in an anti-colonial climate, at the presence of Franz Fanon in Italian cinema. In 1962, the Italian translation of Franz Fanon's classic The Wretch of the Earth is published in Italian with the title I Dannati della Terra. There is a first attempt to make a film on this just a year after. We have a long treatment, a long script written by Romano Ledda, a journalist and political leader of the Communist Party of Italy, but this was not made. The film I Dannati della Terra was made 6 years after by Valentino Orsini, and this film has recently been studied by Nila Srivastava and Mariano Messman. But we can also find references to Fanon's book in a film called Il Nero by Giovanni Vento. As Leonardo De Franceschi recently noted, the film was rediscovered in the last months after many years where it was basically forgotten. But indirectly, we can also find Fanon in Anzano Giannarelli's L'asfalto nella giungla, The Asphalt in the Jungle, released in 1966, a short documentary about a visit in Africa.
Si è già nato un nuovo razzismo che divide il mondo tra la gente del benessere e i dannati della terra.
The fourth group of films is perhaps the most interesting. In fact, I'm convinced that traces of past colonialism, Italian colonialism or not, can be found in several films in the past 75 years or so. From international acclaimed movies like Life is Beautiful, La Vita è Bella, Benigni, 1997, to a domestic box office hit such as Tolo Tolo by Checco Zalone, 2020, and from corporate films shot in former colonies to experimental films that openly criticize colonial practices. Some examples of this sort of reading against the grain of the past 75 years of Italian cinema to look for colonial traces, to look at the 75 years of cinema with using post-colonial lenses. Some examples I was saying might include the reading that Karen Pinkus did of L'Eclisse by Michelangelo Antonioni as a text that speaks to the Italian decolonization. But we also can look at young scholars like Valerio Coladonato working on post-colonial Totò, or Linda Lunenberg, who has talked about hidden post-colonial consciousness in the Commedia all'Italiana. And again, if we think of La Vita è Bella, Life is Beautiful, the first half of the film, there is a clear link between the Holocaust and Italian colonialism. And how are we to account, finally, for the African trip of Checco Zalone in Tolo Tolo, and especially for the scenes set in Libya in the concentration camps? Can we read this film with post-colonial lenses and rethink of this, the of basically all of Italian cinema using those post-colonial lenses with a post-colonial approach in mind, in order to think of Italian cinema in post-war Italy as a post-colonial archive?